You know, this morning's text that was read by Trudy from the epistle to the church in Ephesus. And by the way, my wife and I will be in Ephesus in November. We've been there before. It's an incredible site to visit. This was a major, major city where everything was going on. I mean, it was like New York City. It was like the Big Apple. It was like Times Square. They had a huge library and a hippodrome and an athletic field. And they had, one thing I noticed, they had public restrooms. Now listen to this. We're talking about 2,000 years ago, with running water, sewage, so that it flowed. There were no outhouses. They actually had toilets. And in fact, I took a, fully dressed though, I took a picture of my wife sitting on one of the commodes. And with a big smile on her face. And so Paul is writing to this group of people, knowing that they were facing all kind of challenges in that day and age. By the way, no different than the challenges we face today. And so I want to ask you a question. You know, I always do that when I give a message. Have you ever had the experience where somebody made you angry? Anybody? There's only three of you that have ever been angry in your entire life. Some are raising two hands. But made us angry. I mean real anger, not some make-believe anger. And we wondered ourselves, is this appropriate seeing that I'm a Christian? Is this a right emotion that I should be feeling, considering that I am a follower of Jesus Christ? And I guess the real question I want to ask this morning, is it ever okay to be angry? And I'm going to get to that in a moment. Are there ever times when feeling angry, for whatever reason, is legitimate? Is it possible to be angry, and as Paul is asking in this letter that was just read, is it possible to be angry and not sin? Can you claim to be a Christian and still be angry? Now, those are interesting questions, I believe. I hope they are to you, because I want to try to answer that according to the biblical standards set before us as being followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Some say anger is always sinful, and yet there are others who could justify every time they are angry. You may be married to a person like that, that a flying frying pan is always justified. And so where does the truth really lie? Is it always sinful? Is it always justifiable? Is there somewhere that we need to actually explore this morning? How do we reconcile where the Bible says in several places that we need to stop being angry, we need to stop hanging out and surrounding ourselves with angry people, that we shouldn't take revenge when somebody makes us angry, we shouldn't harbor resentment and bitterness? I talked about that last week in my message about a root of bitterness. We shouldn't allow that root to grow in our lives. How do we reconcile all of that where the Apostle Paul tells us, don't let your anger lead you into sinning? And that's an interesting question, friends. It's a dilemma, I believe, sometimes for us. Think about the extreme case when someone is violated and wounded by another person. Think about that for a moment. Somebody is legitimately hurt by another individual. It's not make-believe, it's not thin-skinnedness. It's actually a person that's been deeply wounded by another individual. Or think about a situation that doesn't require a degree in psychology to realize that any normal person could only feel angry in the given situation or circumstance. I mean, you hear the facts and you yourself say, if that happened to me, I would be angry also. Have you ever had that happen, where you hear a story and you say, wow, that is incredible. I would be angry too if that happened to me. And then ask yourself, does that individual have a right to be angry? Is his or her anger as a result of those circumstances sinful? And you know, we could immediately respond with a resounding no, but are we sure? I guess that's the real question. Are we sure? You know, this week I was looking, what I do when I prepare sermons, I look up different translations of the Bible, and there are a gazillion of them out there. And I found the translation from the New English translation to be most helpful to my message this morning. I'd like to read that for you. Verse 26 of what Trudy read from chapter 4 of Ephesians. And this is what it says. If you are angry, do not let anger lead you into sin. Do not let sunset find you still nursing it. How many remember the comedian Phyllis Diller? Let me see your hand. And for the young people that are going, Phyllis who? She was a funny woman. She once said, never go to bed mad. Just fight all night. Just stay up and fight all night. I have to confess, you know, I've allowed the sun to go down on my anger. I wish I could say, oh, every single time. I try. I don't know if this is true about everybody who's married, but I think in many ways, and this is not a sexist statement, believe me, because men could be just as bad, but sometimes our wives hold on to it just a little bit longer. Whereas you're not sleeping tonight, I don't care if the sun went down or not. You know, I could be snoring with my mouth wide open. We're going to talk about this. And if that doesn't work, my wife, what she normally does, and she's going to kill me for this, she puts a wall of pillows between me and her. You know how Trump says he's going to build the wall? Myung-chul's already done it. But the thing is, on a more serious note, we can see that feeling or being angry is not necessarily wrong. I could tell you the truth, every time my wife would not let me go to sleep until we dealt with it, she was justified in her feelings. I either said or did something pretty stupid, and it had to be dealt with. But the feeling of being angry has the potential, I think what Paul is saying this morning, it has the potential of leading us somewhere where we shouldn't go. To feel angry, to tell somebody you feel angry, or to talk about your anger, believe it or not, and I know you believe it, it's healthy to talk about your feelings of angry. Anger, by the way, is a feeling that God gave us. It's not always of the devil. I know you remember Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. It's not always the devil that makes us do things. Sometimes our angry feelings are a feeling that God has given us. And I think what Paul is saying, what do you do with that anger is more important. As long as we recognize that our anger is our own and avoid hurting back somebody by retaliating, our feelings are legitimate if somebody has hurt us. You hear the difference? There is a difference. It all has to do with what do we do with our feelings of anger when we are feeling angry. Mark Twain, a guy I read since I was a little kid. I mean, there's so many great books that he wrote. But he could be a pretty vile guy. You know, he loved his drink and he loved his cigars. And he once said, when angry, count to four. And if that fails, just swear. I don't want to follow Mark Twain's advice this morning. I think what the Apostle Paul was encouraging us to do is to get over our feelings of being angry as quickly as possible. Okay? Get over those feelings as quickly as possible, because he knew if we allowed them to resonate and to start to fester inside of us, it was going to cause us problems and it was going to cause problems for the people around us. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, we know that repressed anger could be dangerous for us. And you don't have to be a doctor, but I know doctors. I've talked to them about this. Psychologists, psychiatrists, caseworkers, nurses. We're very much aware that negative emotions could cause us to have a heart attack, a stroke, severe depression, and other serious illnesses. So friends, some people will push down and repress their anger. And what happens to those folks? They implode from within. It eats away at them because they're not dealing with it. And then there are people who just strike out right away and they explode. And they throw up all over you. And I want to say exploding's not good, but neither is repression. There has to be a medium. You don't just strike out at somebody and you just don't shove it down and hold on to it. Last week I talked about what will happen. A bitter root will begin to grow deeper and deeper. It will rob us of our joy and our peace that God wants us to have. I have a profound respect for a lot of Christian leaders, but there's one who I've been following for many, many, many years, and that's Dr. Chuck Swindoll, if you ever heard of him. And he wrote a book, Three Steps Forward and Two Steps Back, and I want to read a little excerpt from that book that he wrote. He said, anger is not necessarily sinful. God says, be angry, yet don't sin. Not every expression of anger is wrong. It's as though I were to say to one of my children, now, when you go out tonight, enjoy yourself. Really, have a good time, but don't misuse it. We've said that to our kids. Or it's like the Lord when he says, I want you to love, but don't love the world. Don't even love the things of the world. I want you to love, but restrict that love to certain things. This is the same thought that Paul is making. Be angry, but don't carry that anger to a point where it becomes sin. It's kind of simple, isn't it? But not always simple to do. And believe it or not, this is not the only text that kind of condones anger. I think we've got to be careful with that. Because we could justify, I've seen people justify almost anything and everything by using the Bible, taking it out of context. They could kill somebody and they say, oh, if you go to 1 Samuel, they killed somebody. I guess it's okay. That's proof texting. And that never works. And so we can't use these extremes and say, wow, it's justified. Because I tell you, it carries two serious qualifications in this text and in other texts found in the Bible, both in New and Old Testament. In your anger, number one, don't sin. And number two, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's a toughie. The first qualification is just what it says. You're angry? Don't let that anger cause you to sin. It forbids any sinful thought or sinful expression to manifest within ourselves. And then the second qualification demands that our angry feelings not go past sundown. In other words, there's a time limit, he's saying, on your anger. Be careful of that. The first thing I noticed, man, you know, this works. If I could get rid of my being ticked off at my neighbor before I go to bed, I'm going to sleep good tonight. And I'm going to get up with less wrinkles in my face. I'm going to have a good attitude even if I don't have coffee. I'm going to have a good night's sleep. I got to let this go. And sometimes you don't even have to visit that person next door. All you have to do, and I'm okay with my neighbors, by the way, but just in case they visit here one day, and one of them did, so they're wondering, is he mad at me? No, I'm giving an illustration. But if I could just say, you know what? My neighbor upset me. Their dog pooped on my lawn, and I'm really upset. Can you say poop in church? I don't, forgive me for that. I just, whoa, let me just be a little careful with that. And I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to have a good night's sleep tonight. Lord, help me with this issue with my neighbor. It works, friends. I want to tell you that. It makes perfect sense. Paul also goes on to say that if we extend our anger, we give the devil a foothold. Now, for those of you who don't believe in the devil, that's exactly where he wants you. There is spiritual warfare. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about that. They think of the devil wearing a red suit with horns and a pitchfork that comes out on Halloween. No, he's very different than that. And he seeks to destroy and devour everyone and anyone he can. And I want to tell you, this is a foothold because he could use anger. Wars have been started. Just look what's happening in our campaign in America between the Democrats and the Republicans. That's not a political statement. There's a lot of anger and bitterness and frustration going on. And the enemy could use that. He uses it in families, brothers against brothers, sisters against sisters, parents against their children, children against their parents. Don't give the devil a foothold by allowing your anger to take you to a place you shouldn't be. Now, the Bible permits righteous indignation as long as it's not selfish. We can have righteous indignation. For instance, you see an injustice committed against a person or a group of people. It could be around the world. It could be in our own community. And you stand up against that injustice with righteous indignation. Or something happens to you personally, and you stand up for yourself with Christ's love, but you make your position known because you have righteous indignation because of the violation that was committed against you. In the first instance, you're helping someone. In the second, you are trying to deal with something without losing your cool so that you could keep a relationship rather than avoiding it, ignoring it, or exploding on another person. That's never healthy, I could tell you right now. Now, I've really been a disciple of Jesus quite a while now. I wasn't always a disciple of his, and I've just confessed that before God and you. But I can tell you that I myself, and I know a lot of my friends over the years, have justified their anger by using one example in the Bible. Well, Jesus cleaned out the temple. He turned over the tables of the money changers. He even whipped somebody. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Well, that doesn't square, friends. Read the rest of the New Testament. There's very little examples of that in the New Testament where Jesus showed that kind of anger. And by the way, he wasn't angry because of a personal thing. He says, "You have made my Father's house a den of robbers." He was angry over an injustice against his heavenly Father, and not something that they had personally done to him. Remember, when he was on Calvary's cross, he harbored no anger against anybody. Think about that. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You see the difference? He turned over the tables because they had made a mockery of the temple. And so he became angry. You can't justify anger by using verse 26. In your anger, do not sin, because five verses later, listen what Paul says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God has forgiven you. Get rid of it. Folks, I've held on to anger, and I could tell you it didn't do any good for my health, for my relationships, or anything else. Paul's giving us some good advice here. Don't let it cause you to sin. So, what are we going to do with the hurt that we've received? Maybe some of you have been hurt this week. Maybe some of you have been hurt a while ago, and you're still angry because somebody offended you or hurt you. And by the way, what they said or what they did was wrong. I'm not justifying their actions. But I'm asking you, what have you done with that anger? There are two choices. We can get rid of it, or we could hold on to it. We could hold on to it past sundown. Or you could build a wall with pillows. You could let it go past sundown. In other words, you could violate the sundown rule. And that's not hard to do. Friends, if we do that, there's a strong possibility that we will fester, that the anger will grow deeper, that we will become sour, we will turn it into resentment and bitterness. And I have even seen Christians, church-going people, start to foster hatred toward another individual, even in the church. And Paul's saying, don't go there. What may have been healthy anger to begin with, we turn it into unhealthy anger, which he called sin. Now listen, we've all been hurt by someone one time or the other. I'm not arguing that at all this morning. We have all been victimized by hurtful actions and words by other individuals. Some people are very close to us. Maybe our children or our spouse or a sibling or another church member. And if we're honest, this is the hard part. We've probably hurt other people with our mouths and our actions. We're not always the good guy, are we? And so, how do we react to these hurts and disappointments will mean the difference between emotional health and emotional sickness. It will make the difference between spiritual health or spiritual sickness on how we respond with the things that have happened against us that has caused us to become resentful and angry. It comes down to a choice. I think that's what Paul is saying in the text this morning. It comes down to a choice. Will you hold on to it? Or will you get rid of it? I share with you the words of a song because I have 8 grandchildren I have grown to hate. Let it go. And I'm not going to sing it for you. I don't care what you say, Charlie. Charlie made me sing A Change Is Gonna Come a few weeks ago. But let it go. Let it go early before it takes root. So, Lord, I just pray this morning. I thank you for this lesson that Paul is still giving the church today. A lesson that's so meaningful because anger and hurt is part of the human condition. And I pray this morning, Lord, that if anyone here is holding anger because of hurt, that they would be able to just say, Lord, help me with this because I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Take this anger from me. Heal me of my hurt, my pain, my resentment toward an individual. Even if that individual has died and gone on, Lord, help me to release it so that I might experience your joy and your peace in my life. And we pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen.